still learning a lot about how so many things went wrong up until now. And it looks like one person that many of us gave a lot of credit to might have been hiding some things.
Growing fallout for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and his administration over withholding COVID death toll numbers in nursing homes. The growing scrutiny comes just weeks after New York Attorney General Letitia James released a report claiming the state had undercounted nursing home deaths by as much as 50%. State health officials acknowledged the death toll was more than 15,000, much higher than originally reported.
A top Cuomo aide admitted withholding data for months over concerns the Trump Justice Department might use the info against them.
Those comments sparked immediate backlash among lawmakers on both sides of the aisle.
State Republicans going so far as to say he should be impeached.
Wow. Really, Governor Cuomo? You lowered your own numbers to make yourself look better? Whew. Guess who just got uninvited to my 29th birthday next week? And the explanation for this, the explanation that they're going with is that they thought the Trump administration would use the high nursing home deaths against them, which, yeah, usually if you're not doing a good job, it gets used against you. That's the whole point of data. This would be like if the Kansas City Chiefs said, come on, you're gonna look at the scoreboard? Isn't it enough that I'm telling you that I won the Super Bowl? Come on! And when you think about it, messing with COVID numbers to make yourself look better is just about the Trumpiest thing that you can do. Which is ironic, since the main reason Cuomo became a pandemic hero is that he was giving informative, coherent press conferences while Trump was trying to inject people with bleach. It's like if you take a bowl of Chef Boyardee and you put it next to a bowl of worms, the fact that it's next to something so disgusting makes those worms look really delicious. Like, look, man, I don't care what anybody says. For me, you cannot justify doing the wrong thing because you say, oh, Trump might have or might not have or will have what? No, you did the wrong thing. Hey, Batman, did you kill those innocent people?
I had to do it. You should have seen what the Joker was going to do to them.
Like, worse than kill them?
No further questions.
Andrew Cuomo, who looks like all three Goodfellas at once, said he hopes to legalize marijuana next month. Cuomo is hoping marijuana will provide New Yorkers a safe, effective way to forget about the nursing home stuff.
President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris held a moment of silence and candle lighting ceremony today to commemorate the lives lost to the coronavirus. Wow, all 12 of them? Asked Andrew Cuomo.
Please welcome New York Governor Andrew Cuomo!
Hey, hello, all right, let's get this over with.
Governor, do you know why you're here today?
Is it because indoor dining is back in New York? That's exciting, right?
Governor.
All right, I know. It's because of the nursing home stuff.
And what happened with the nursing homes?
Some of the people who died in the nursing homes were not counted as nursing home deaths. They were counted as hospital deaths. Which is basically what happens at Disney World, okay? People die and they move the bodies. They say, oh, I guess Brenda died in the parking lot, not on the teacups. So, you know, we just did the Disney thing, all right? So what we done here.
Governor, but don't you think you ought to apologize?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said I was sorry.
Okay, see? That wasn't so hard. People just want answers. Bill de Blasio says you ought to be investigated.
That bird bitch son of a what? What did that bird bitch said about me? I will bury him in the tallest grave this city has ever seen. I will hire a hobo to Rick Moranis him so hard, he'll think he's back in Universal Pre-K. Oh,
Governor!
I'm sorry, okay? I get a little angry now and then and always.
Hey, I get it. You know, me and you, we're both kind of the same thing, you know? We're both strong, misunderstood men.
Do not associate yourself with me.
Okay.
We are not the same.
Oh, sorry?
I am a man, you are a clown.
I accept that, thank you.
And if you mess with me, I will send you to a clown hospital.
Okay, honestly, that sounds fun.
And when you die, I will not count your body.
Nor should you, thank you.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog at the scene of another fast-breaking news story. Hi-ho, this is Kermit the Frog speaking to you from the scene of the accident, where Mr. Humpty Dumpty has just fallen off of his wall. And to recapitulate that story, you may remember that Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all of the king's horses, and all of the king's men, and, wait a minute, that's one of the king's cows back there. Pardon me, cow, I believe it's just supposed to be all the king's horses here. Come on, get out, get out, get out. All the king's horses and all the king's men are indeed trying to put Mr. Humpty Dumpty back together again, and we're going to get a word in with one of the king's horses here right now. Pardon me, horse. Kermit the Frog here, Sesame Street News. Can you tell us just what's happening with Mr. Dumpty over there?
Well, Dumpty's a tough egg.
Yeah, tough
not
egg,
what you'd
yeah.
call hard-boiled or anything.
Hard-boiled,
but
right.
But he had a pretty bad fall.
Bad fall,
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, you could see part of him over there.
Yes, that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another part of him.
Gotcha, another
yeah,
part.
And right there, that's the final part right there. That's the last of him.
Yes, I see.
Yep, well, I gotta get back to work, Frog.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, folks, as you can see, it's been a bad break for Mr. Humpty Dumpty.
The problems we're facing as a nation right now are structural. They require radical solutions, and they demand that we face reality and tell the truth. And yet, one of our two major political parties is continuing to plunge deeper into an alternate universe of delusion and disinformation. I mean, just consider the fact that Donald Trump is no longer in office. He no longer holds any real power over elected Republican officials. He's the most unpopular president in the history of polling with a track record of abysmal failure. And yet, high-ranking Republicans still refuse to say the obvious, which is that he legitimately lost the 2020 election.
Clear this up for me. Joe Biden won the election. He is the legitimate president of the United States. The election was not stolen, correct?
Look, Joe Biden's the president. There were a few states that did not follow their state laws. That's really the dispute that you've seen continue on.
But Congressman, I know Joe Biden's the president. He lives at the White House. I asked you, is he the legitimate president of the United States, and do you concede that this election was not stolen? Very simple question. Please just answer it.
Once the electors are counted, yes, he's the legitimate president. If you're going to ignore the fact that there were states that did not follow their own state legislatively set laws, that's the issue at heart that millions of people still are not happy with.
First of all, that's not true. Second, why are we still inviting these lunatics on national TV? This should be a basic litmus test. If you can't trust them to be honest about something as simple as who won the election, how can you expect them to be honest about anything else?
As the New York Times put it in their coverage of this story today, quote, the Supreme Court's order set in motion a series of events that could lead to the startling possibility of a criminal trial of a former U.S. president. The former U.S. president in question soon affirmed that when he released a rambling and even for him almost hysterical statement in response to the Supreme Court ruling, saying, quote, the people of our country won't stand for it. He called the ruling of the court, quote, fascism. He was rambling about the court, rambling about what he called, quote, all the election crimes that were committed against me. But what's happened here, what the Supreme Court set in motion today, is something that does not involve federal prosecutors. These are state prosecutors. And their case is moving forward. And there really is now, as the Times puts it today, the startling prospect of a criminal trial of a former U.S. president.
Thanks for the songs from Huskoor Doo, Negativland, and Smokey Robinson. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from John Oliver, Jimmy Kimmel, Donald Trump, Kent Brockman, Ted Cruz, The Daily Show, Speedy Gonzalez, Blair Erskine, Stephen Colbert, A.D. Bryant, Chloe Fineman, Trevor Noah, Michael Che, Seth Meyers, Pete Davidson, Kermit the Frog, Steve Scalise, and Rachel Maddow.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness. Ever since the Declaration of Independence, we've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years, they have fed you this. Foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Schools, churches.
The SAT is not geared for the lower class, so why waste time even trying to pass? The educational system presumes you to fail. The next place is the corner, then after that, jail. You gotta understand that this has all been conspired to put a strain on our brains so that the strong grow tired. It even exists when you go to your church, 'cause up on the wall, a white Jesus lurks. They use your subconscious to control your will. They've done it for a while and developed the skill to make you wanna kill even your own brother, man. Black against black, you see, it's part of their plan. They wanna send us to war and they wanna ban rap. What they really wanna do is get rid of us blacks. Genocide is for real, and I hope that you're hearing me. You must be aware to combat the conspiracy.
In the arts, business, industry.
Even in this rap game, all the glitters ain't gold. Now the rap is big business, the snakes got bold. They give you whack contracts and try to make you go pop, 'cause they have no regard for real hip-hop. They'll compare you to others and say, but yo, he sells. And you know in your heart that he's weak as hell. So you say, I ain't doing that corny stuff. But they tell you that your chop positions will go up. Sometimes they front big time and make you many promises. And then when they break them, that's when your mama says, son, you're making records, but that guy seems shady. It could be too late and your career could be played, G. I hope you listen to the things that I'm sharing, see. We all have a job to combat the conspiracy.
Time to get up and stomp your feet to this great foot-stomping Transylvanian beat. Start nice and slow.
One, two.
Then speed up more.
One, two, three, four.
And stomp away.
One,
'cause we're about
three,
to
four,
find out
five.
The number of
the
day.
What's the number? Stop, stop. What's the number? Stop, stop. What is the number?
The number of the day rhymes with hen and pen. The number of the day is... 10.
WGXC turns 10 this February, and our 10th anniversary pledge drive is coming to you soon.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10.
We're asking you to become a sustaining supporter to make sure the community has access to its own airwaves for another 10 years of community broadcasting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
If you like what you hear on WGXC, make a donation at WGXC.org and make it a sustaining donation. Something like 17 cents a day or $5 a month will help keep community radio on the airwaves. At least this one sliver, 90.7 FM, where all are welcome. WGXC.org/donate.
10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 tiny turtles on the telephone talking with the grocery men. We would like some lettuce. Will you send us 10 heads, please? And 10 sweet potatoes and 10 rutabagas with the dimples on their knees. And send us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 big party jokes. 10 eggplants over easy. That's one of our little jokes. 10 leafy, leafy collard greens. And please make sure they're washed. Light up our eyes.
10 banana squash, and we'll eat 10 cans of black-eyed peas. They give you good strong muscles, 10 of those tasty sprouts, the ones that they call Brussels. We also like 10 mangoes, they're the favorite of our sister Gert. And one last thing, please do include 10 apples for dessert.
10.
It's WGXC's 10th anniversary this February, and all year we will be celebrating 10 years of community voices on the radio. We'll have a special live broadcast and performance May 26th at the Greenville Drive-In. And if you become a sustaining supporter or increase your sustaining support of WGXC during the February pledge drive, we'll give you a ticket if you want for the Greenville Drive-In show May 26th at 7:30 p.m. with Stephen Merritt of the Magnetic Fields performing, Anna Frizz also performing, Catskills' Brian DeWan, Jen Cutler, and Jess Spear also performing. More artists to be announced at the WGXC 10th anniversary performance, the Greenville Drive-In, May 26th. And if you become a sustaining supporter for the first time during WGXC's February pledge drive, or increase your sustaining support of the community radio station, you can get a ticket to the Greenville Drive-In show with Stephen Merritt, Anna Frizz, Brian DeWan, Jen Cutler, Jess Spear, and more May 26th at the Greenville Drive-In for WGXC 90.7 FM.
10. 10. 10.
When you hear sound, when you hear radio, you hear the propagation of waves.
Radio at a store. to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Wait, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Roadrunner, roadrunner, going faster miles an hour. Gonna drive past the Stop and Shop with the radio on. I'm in love with the modern world, Massachusetts when it's late at night, and the neon when it's cold outside. I got the radio on, just like a roadrunner going around the highway. I walked by the Stop and Shop, then I drove by the Stop and Shop. I like that much better than walking by the Stop and Shop, 'cause I had the radio on. I felt in touch with the modern world, I felt in love with the modern world. I felt in love with Brad Pitt and Rosendale, 'cause I had the radio on. I felt like a roadrunner with the radio on. Now I said hello to the spirit of old 1956. It was patient in the bushes next to 57. Well, the highway was my only girlfriend, 'cause I went by so quick, and suburban trees were out there, and consequently it smelled like heaven. So I say, roadrunner once, roadrunner twice, we're in love with this feeling now, it will be out all night. Alright, now we can tell about our love, you man.
Radio on,
I got the AM.
Radio on,
I got the power, I feel the feeling now.
Radio on,
I feel the feeling and it's feeling alright now.
Radio on,
and I feel in touch with the modern world. Okay, let's go down Route 128. Can you feel it out in Needham now? Out in Route 128 by the power line. It's so exciting there at night, with the pine trees in the dark. It's so cold here in the dark, with 50,000 watts of power. We go by faster miles an hour, with the radio on. Roadrunner, roadrunner, going faster miles an hour. I'm gonna drive by the Stop and Shop with the radio on. See, I'm in love with the modern world, Massachusetts when it's late at night, and the neon when it's cold outside. See, I have the radio on like a roadrunner. Now what do you think about that, you guys?
Radio on.
Good, we got the AM. I think we got the power, got the magic now. We got the feeling of the modern world. We got the feeling of the modern sound. The sound of the modern radio, feeling when it's late at night. Got the sound of the modern loneliness when it's cold outside. Got the sound of Massachusetts when it's blue and white. The sound of Route 128 on the dark and lonely. I feel alone in the cold and lonely. I feel alone in the cold and neon. Drive them home, you guys. Here we go. That's right. Again. Bye-bye.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Waveform, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune into transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Strange how the scale forms in tiny patterns on my antenna and the 5 o'clock show. Hello, hello. Brooklyn is crawling with famous people. I turn my vehicle beneath the river west from south. To wait for morning. No, it was nothing. Some car backfiring. Please don't ask questions. I hate your lover. Let me sleep.
Hi, I'm Carol from Athens, New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM,
Acra.
Tune in to the WGXE 10th anniversary and celebrate 10 years of your friends and neighbors making radio with you and for you. The WGXE 10th Anniversary Pledge Drive is from February 15th to February 28th, 2021. Visit our website at wavefarm.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 to become a sustaining supporter at just 17 cents a day or $5 a month. Please help us make sure Creative Community Radio stays on the air for another 10 years. Call now, 518-697-7400, or visit our website, wavefarm.org/donate.
A song for, by, and about Greene County. Blue jean, jelly bean, 16 seam, machine serene, queen bee clean, lean, gleam, butter bean, Halloween, silver screen, time machine, tambourine, aquamarine, computer screen, canteen, between marine, ravine, black bean, steam, clean, sardine, wolverine, tangerine, figurine, string bean, dream, dream. Greene County music only on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dan and Mary Udell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Vaccine apartheid. If one person is unprotected, we are all unprotected. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. I've personally received more doses of a COVID-19 vaccine than 130 countries. Those are the words of Dr. Craig Spencer, talking about the two vaccine shots he recently got as an emergency room doctor. Back in 2014, he contracted Ebola while combating the epidemic in Guinea, Africa. Dr. Spencer knows the value of public health protocols, personal protective equipment, or PPE, and vaccinations.
Just a few weeks ago, you know, we're the only country in sub-Saharan Africa. One of the only countries in sub-Saharan Africa to get vaccinated was in Guinea, and they received 25 doses, not 2,500, not 25,000, but 25.
Dr. Spencer is director of Global Health and Emergency Medicine at Columbia University, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
I've been vaccinated, thankfully, but my friends who work in a clinic in southern Burundi in East Africa may have to wait until 2022 or 2023.
The problem Dr. Spencer speaks of so personally has been described as vaccine apartheid, or vaccine nationalism. Wealthy nations like the United States, the United Kingdom, and European Union countries contracted to buy billions of doses of prospective vaccines while they were still in development. Poorer nations, where 85% of the world's population lives, are left scrambling, forced to wait for vaccine shipments from COVAX, the global cooperative vaccination facility coordinated by the World Health Organization. Dr. Spencer notes that some rich countries have even bought up enough doses to vaccinate their population several times over.
We can hold on to them and hoard them, or we can think about how we get other vulnerable populations around the world vaccinated. There are 59 million healthcare workers in the world. We could take a very small proportion of the doses that we have ordered, and we could help coordinate a program with the World Health Organization, with other international health bodies, to get those most vulnerable people in the world vaccinated so that not only are we safe here at home, but others are safe everywhere else.
A key impediment to the mass vaccination of the global population is a supply shortage precipitated by greed. Most of the available vaccines have been developed by private, for-profit pharmaceutical corporations that hold patents on the vaccines, granting them monopoly control over the production of these life-saving drugs. They're guaranteed massive profits despite having received, in some cases, billions of dollars in public subsidies for vaccine development. This exploitation of the pandemic for profit is only possible with strictly enforced global treaties, primarily the World Trade Organization's TRIPS. That's trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights. India and South Africa are leading an effort for a temporary waiver of these WTO patent protections, which would allow private and public facilities around the world to mass-produce vaccines and other related patent-protected items like syringes and PPE. The United States, first under former President Donald Trump, but continuing under President Joe Biden, along with a handful of wealthy countries, have been blocking the waiver. A growing movement coordinated by the group Public Citizen is pressuring Biden to reverse this destructive policy.
It would make all the difference in the world.
That's Democratic Congressmember Jan Schakowsky of Illinois speaking on Democracy Now!
We're spending additional billions of dollars to address tourism, to help the airlines, to be able to help our economy. All of that will be for naught if we cannot protect ourselves against this virus, because we will not help the international community. And there are hundreds of organizations, health organizations, human rights organizations, NGOs around the world that are pleading, really, for this waiver to be approved. I know that Nancy Pelosi, our Speaker of the House, has spoken out on this issue as well and says that this is important for us to do for ourselves. It's our own self-interest as well.
Congressmember Schakowsky's point is vital. If one person in the world remains unprotected, we are all unprotected. The COVID-19 virus mutates rapidly. Highly contagious variants are spreading around the globe, including the UK, South Africa, and Brazil variants, now joined by the New York City variant. If the virus is not contained globally, it will continue to mutate and spread through unprotected populations, potentially rendering our current crop of vaccines ineffective, plunging the planet back into a catastrophic pandemic all over again. Fatima Hassan knows what the term apartheid means. She's a South African human rights campaigner who fought for access to life-saving HIV/AIDS drugs for poor countries. She wrote an article in this week's Foreign Policy. She writes, "A pernicious form of vaccine apartheid has emerged, largely based on wealth and geography." She goes on, "The pandemic response should not have to rely on voluntary cooperation, but urgent wartime measures, including compulsory ones," she says. The WTO is meeting in early March to debate the waiver. As it relies on consensus decision-making, any single country can block it. Trillions of dollars in potential economic damage and millions of lives hang in the balance. The United States, the wealthiest nation in the world, with the highest number of COVID-19 deaths, now over 500,000, should be leading the charge to share life-saving vaccines and treatments around the globe. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, rain and snow, becoming all rain after 9 a.m. with the temperature high near 47 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 31. And on Sunday, a chance of rain after 10 a.m. It will be cloudy with the temperature high near 44 degrees. and Sunday night a chance of showers mainly before 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 36. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
WGXC broadcast Antonio Delgado's teletown hall meeting as the congressperson invited constituents to ask questions on the telephone, and it was also broadcast on Facebook Live and broadcast by WGXC on 90.7 FM. At the end of the meeting, he heard from several Greene County residents. First, here's a broadband question from Catskill.
I want to bring in Bruce from Catskill.
Good evening, Congressman.
Good evening, Bruce.
Thank you so much for having this format. My main
thank you.
Is the lack of internet service that we have in the town of Catskill. I live in an area that I'm going to say maybe 0.4 miles down the road on the next road, there is internet service. We are unable to get them to come down the road to us without coming up with $10,000. And that's basically, I think, due to the fact that there's kind of like a monopoly on the services down in this region. I think the only one we can deal with is Mid-Hudson. We have called other providers, and we've been told the same thing, that basically Mid-Hudson is the only group we can go through. So I know that there has been money allocated recently, I think, to our county that Chairman Linger is aware of, I believe, and hopefully that we'll be able to at some time soon be able to get access to our end of town, basically.
I certainly want to speak to this question, and will, Bruce, but do want to offer the chairman an opportunity to speak to this as well, since his name was invoked.
Sure. Thank you, Congressman. Actually, the congressman and I discussed this just a couple of weeks ago in Catskill, and I believe I did get an email from you today, Bruce, that I didn't get a chance to respond because I'm looking for the resolution. But Greene County has taken it upon ourselves to start the process of doing a survey countywide, not just town of Catskill, but countywide, to recognize where our broadband and cellular coverage areas are lacking. You know, the governor a few years back did three separate grant programs, and Greene County made out very well. All of our providers, I should say, with the exception of Verizon, I think Verizon turned it down, but all of our providers accepted a lot of grant money through that program. We had about a 60% increase in the build out of broadband, but we do certainly recognize that we're not at 100%. We're not even close. So we just commissioned a study that's going to cost us about $100,000 to find out where those, what we can term as the last mile areas are. We know they're very expensive to reach. We know that they're not as densely populated as other places. And that's what drives up the cost on it. And your businesses don't have the opportunity to make the funds back and get the return on their investment. So we also realize that there's going to need to be some public funding that goes into this. And this was specifically one of the items that we discussed with the congressman, and one that we're hoping that we'll be able to use some of this COVID relief bill funding for in anticipation of economic development and driving that broadband and cellular build out for Greene County, including the town of Catskill.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chairman. And you're right. We certainly did have this conversation. It's a conversation that's not exclusive to Greene County. Every county I visit, this tends to be an issue because we're a rural district. And because we don't have densely populated areas, the mapping for broadband is totally flawed. And the private actors don't see a high enough return on investment. And when you combine that, Bruce, with your point about the monopolistic tendencies of these companies, it's a very toxic situation. We have co-ops on the ground who want to build out the last mile, who want to make sure that we have the build out that's appropriate. But if these companies continue to, in many respects, just hoard you know, because they don't want to build out, but have the power to hold on to the land, to hold on to the towers, then they will. And it's incumbent upon us at the federal level to do more to enforce our antitrust laws. We've got to make sure that we are allowing more competition to flourish, because the only folks who get hurt as a result of that lack of competition are everyday Americans who would like to not have to pay thousands of dollars just for a basic utility. It just doesn't make any sense, and we can do a lot better. I'm on the rural broadband task force in D.C. Been focusing on this issue for the very beginning of my first term, and I've been introducing legislation to address mapping, to get more access to accurate data that our providers don't provide more often than not to the FCC, and we got to do a lot better to build out our broadband. We know how challenging it is because of COVID. It was bad enough before COVID, but now you see that with telemedicine, with education, remote learning, and with abilities for our small businesses to access the marketplace, it is imperative that we treat broadband like a basic utility and not a luxury for a few. So this is definitely a focus of mine moving forward. I will note the December COVID package included $7 billion for broadband, including $3.2 billion for the Emergency Broadband Connectivity Fund to support home connectivity needs for those financially impacted. So this is also a big focus in the most recent package. Again, and actually it also included $30 million of rural broadband grant program. So there's some money that is out there right now. We've got to make sure it gets to where it goes. And particularly where it goes has to be rural communities like the ones we all share and live in. And so more must be done. We're going to keep focusing on this issue moving forward. And it's going to require a lot of focus and effort. And I appreciate I very much appreciate the question.
Representative Antonio Delgado also took a question on the economy from Cairo, New York.
John from Cairo.
Delgado, how are you?
I'm good, John. How you doing?
Good. This is on the logging industry. If I don't know. There's a lot of guys down here, you know, they're sole proprietors and guys with two-man, three-man crews and everything else like that. Now, I know if you go into the Home Depot and everywhere else, you've got, you know, it's like the price of a piece of plywood is $38, but we don't see it on our end.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been really knocked down a lot of stuff from Canada and everything else on the exports and everything else for like 6 months. Well, and you know, there's a lot of guys in this county, including me, and I've been in the business over 35 years, and, you know, we got equipment payments, and, you know, some of the finance companies were very good. They gave us like a three-month buffer, but it went further than that. And if you try to apply for one of these SBA loans, they just reject you. And because we're small, we get nothing. So, where can we get the help?
I appreciate that, John. And let me start by saying we do have $200 million in COVID-19 relief funding for logging and log hauling businesses. It was included in the COVID package back in December. And we're pushing aggressively, John, to start getting that money out the door, which is certainly a focus. I'm sorry that the SBA loans haven't been helpful to you. I also don't quite understand how, you know, I understand maybe why PPP might not be, you know, all that helpful, because you don't have the personnel, and much of that was based on, you know, payroll. But we have, you know, made sure to break the ratio down so that now it's not just about payroll, but it also includes utilities and other expenses. So I'm not sure if you still want to consider, you know, utilizing the PPP program, even though I acknowledge that it does benefit those bigger or small, you know, employees that have more employees on the payroll. Also, the economic injury disaster loan. Again, while this is a loan, there is a grant that is provided, and I believe it is eligible. There's sole proprietors who have eligibility for that as well. So I understand your point about the SBA loans and how it's difficult to access them, but I would consider looking into another PPP loan if possible, or the economic injury disaster loan. And if you have additional follow-up questions, we can assist you in that regard. We certainly can help you navigate that. Just call 845-443-2930, 845-443-2930.
And Greene County Chair Pat Linger was on the line, and he had some final thoughts on the COVID-19 bill in Congress.
Sure. Thank you, Congressman. And again, I do appreciate the opportunity and the invitation to be here with you tonight. Some of the things that we would look for here in this bill, we really need to see it as unrestricted funding. We spoke at length here a few weeks back about the application process that's involved in a lot of this federal funding. It takes up a lot of our county resources to fill these applications out and follow them through. And as in turn, that delays some of the other progress that we can do, because we're not flush with extra people to just be able to fill out grant applications. So if you can work on getting a simplified process there, that would allow us to put some money back into things like addiction services that we've certainly seen exacerbated with COVID-19. And of course, broadband and cellular coverage is being increased across the county for the development and very simple, not even luxuries, but just simple daily tasks such as schooling and telemedicine that would be available to everyone across the county. So we appreciate the efforts, and we'll certainly keep in contact.
I'm tongue-tied and useless. I'm weak-kneed and brainless, and then I mumble some jumble. You kiss me, I'm history. I'm tongue-tied and useless again. My heart pounds, I make sounds, my ears hum. My head pops, a shoe drops, I'm struck dumb. I'm tongue-tied and useless, I'm weak-kneed and brainless, and then I mumble some jumble. You kiss me, I'm history, I'm tongue-tied and useless. I feel faint. I've no doubt I'll black out grand love aims. Clever. I turn blue, I love you forever. I'm tongue-tied and useless, I'm weak-kneed and brainless, and then I mumble some jumble. You kiss me, I'm history, I'm tongue-tied and useless again. And useless again.
It's WGXC's 10th anniversary this February, and all year we will be celebrating 10 years of community voices on the radio. We'll have a special live broadcast and performance May 26th at the Greenville Drive-In. And if you become a sustaining supporter or increase your sustaining support of WGXC during the February pledge drive, we'll give you a ticket if you want for the Greenville Drive-In Show May 26th at 7:30 p.m. with Stephen Merritt of the Magnetic Fields performing, Anna Frizz also performing, Catskills' Brian DeWan, Jen Cutler, and Jess Spear also performing. More artists to be announced at the WGXC 10th anniversary performance, the Greenville Drive-In, May 26th. And if you become a sustaining supporter for the first time during WGXC's February pledge drive, or increase your sustaining support of the community radio station, you can get a ticket to the Greenville Drive-In Show with Stephen Merritt, Anna Frizz, Brian DeWan, Jen Cutler, Jess Spear, and more, May 26th at the Greenville Drive-In for WGXC 90.7 FM.
I could take a sleeping pill and sleep back well, and not have to go through what I go through. I guess I should take Prozac right and just smile all night at somebody new, somebody not too bright but sweet and kind, who would try to get you off my mind. I could leave this agony behind, which is just what I don't exist and not have to dream of what I dream of. I could listen to all my friends and go out again and pretend it's enough. Or I could make a career of being blue. I could dress in black and read camo, smoke clove cigarettes and drink vermouth. Like I was 17, there would be a scream, but I